Honorable members, welcome. We shall now ask Mr. Lijege to do the presentation. He says he wants 15 minutes. I don't know whether that is a new strategy to deny us information. Proceed according to your plan.
Thank you, Chairperson and members of the committee. Chairperson, just as an opening, I just want to indicate, Chairperson, that 2015 speaking like this current medium-term extended framework period is also an austerity measure period. And in 2016, as a department, we received cuts of 30 million, which reduced our budget during the adjustment period from 20.6 billion to 20.586 billion. The expenditure during the year, we, as reported by Ms. Katenga, we overspent slightly by 121,000, which is translates to 0.0006% of our budget. Administratively, we've reported this to National Treasury so that the process of authorization can proceed. However, Chairperson, I just want to indicate that as a department, we have throughout the year we did report that we are experiencing pressures on goods and services, and in the main, this year we saw pressures on capital expenditure program. Secondly, on municipal services, mainly on water and electricity, because of inflationary adjustments that are lower than what we are actually realizing. Nutritional services as well, in terms of the number that we are required to provide in services to. Moving to the summary of the expenditure, on slide 20, we are presenting the five programs after we've done diamond as well as the adjustment. The five programs as presented in the main incorporation is the one that overspent by 121, of which I will indicate the reasons as we go along. Slide 22 deals with the summary in terms of the first program. We selected only two programs. To deal with those that have got major variances. Program 1 deals with all the administrative issues, including JIGS. In this program, the final appropriation was 4 billion. We spent the extra 4 billion, which was 100%. However, there were overs and unders. Compensation of employees, we overspent by 4.3 million. Interest on rent and rent is in respect of charges or interest paid in terms of area salaries as well as the implementation of court orders that have been awarded against the department in respect of loss of income. Transfers and subsidies are spent by 3.3 million as a result of delayed payment of skills levies. And lastly, the underspending on payments of capital assets was mainly in respect of delays in finalization of procurement processes on IT equipment. If members must just note that the 30 million that I referred to, which was cut on compensation of employees during the adjustment, were affected on the program 1, which is administration, and hence the contributing factors. In addition to the overspending on compensation in this program was the implementation of Resolution 7 of 2015, which brought about the adjustment of housing allowance for employees below salary level 12, which was in the region of 900 to 1,200 per official, as well as the annual medical aid employer contribution adjusted by 28.5%, in 2016 calendar year, as well as that cut that I referred to. These we only realized them in the fourth quarter, and therefore we could not avoid them towards the end of the financial year. I have already dealt with program one. I'll move on to program two, which is the biggest program, which has a share of 12.4 billion of the 20 billion that I referred to on the vote. The overspending on this program was on goods and services, where we overspent by 7.7 million on goods and services. There was also an overspending on payment of capital assets that I referred to of 1.2 million, including the underspending on transfers and subsidies. Just to indicate the items that overspent, goods and services, on slide 26, we overspent by 8 million, the 7.7 million I referred to, because of municipal services charges, electricity and water, which are much higher. If you look at the NERSA inflationary rate, the increases that are approved are much higher than what our baseline increases on an annual basis we are receiving. In this regard, we paid 927 million in the financial year towards water and electricity, municipal charges, against a budget of 990 million, which resulted in that overspending. The interest on rent was 48,000 was in relation to interest paid on area salaries. On payments of capital assets, where we overspent by 1.2 million, under incorporation was regarding facilities, where the additional expenditure in excess of the pay expenditure was as a result of cost price adjustment on installation of security fences around the country. Chairperson, the summary of the at the national level, we present a picture on that slide 28, which in the main is all the details I dealt with. Compensation, there was a cut of 30 million. Goods and services, mainly municipal services. Interest on rent and land, on land is in relation to court orders that were granted against the department, and we have to pay interest on those awards, and payments of assets and transfers is the issues that I referred to, mainly the leave gratuities that were paid for. Chairperson, in terms of the, if you look at the numbers, we are looking at we have a permanent establishment of 42,006, which is approved, but we had funded still vacancies of 38,426, of which 215 were filled additional to the fund establishment, resulting in a vacancy of 9% or an equivalent of 3,780 posts. That's on compensation. Goods and services, have already dealt with the municipal charges, transfer and subsidies and interest on land. In conclusion, Chairperson, the issue of austerity measures is having an impact on, obviously, specifically on the JCPS cluster, because we are more labor intensive, and therefore the cuts that have been affected, for instance, in the current business period, for this department amounted to 2.6 billion. As a department, obviously, the system has to find its way to shift towards cost containment. And going forward, we are looking at a number of innovative ways of curbing expenditure. I will just mention the top five that's in respect of goods and services. We are looking exploring renewable energy solutions. We've already signed a memorandum of understanding or agreement with the Department of Energy so that they assist the department, because that's where our pressure points are. We've also implemented the use of video conferencing facilities where regions do not necessarily have to travel all the time if one has national meetings, and that will travel and accommodation. We've reduced a lot of our consultancy fees from 43 million in the reporting period under review, we reduced it to 9 million from 43 million in the previous financial year. Fourthly, the optimal use of buildings, state-owned buildings. We are rationalizing the use of office space where we try to avoid leasing a building and utilizing our own management areas within, because we've got a lot of space as a department and we're trying to avoid that. Although there are certain instances where we aren't totally retired within the management areas, in cases such as, especially on the social integration programs, because those delivery access points have to be where the communities are. And lastly, the issue of we're also looking at fleet management solutions where we'll be able to optimize fuel charges on our fleet, as well as trying to avoid damages and losses to our vehicles. Second, and I think that is the our story in terms of finances, but also taking a direction of the department and encouraged by the audit outcomes that came out in this financial year in 2016, we're encouraged towards working towards a clean audit and this is the first step. Chairperson, I thank you very much for listening to us today.
Would there be capacity within the department not work far much cheaper than paying big loans to consultants who may come from universities or private companies but who have never been in any cell, and then they have to give you an opinion on how to organize yourself within the correctional centers? Where do you get these consultants? What do they know about the work that we do? What exposure have they had?
The consultants that we mainly used in the past and which ended in December 2015 were in respect of IT professional services. So two of the contracts that we have, we've already cut those. We don't have that in operation anymore. So we've really reduced that. Only the only fees that would tend to continue would be mainly on the payments made to bodies such as Medical Advisory Board, MCC, health, and so forth, but we totally cancelled the majority of those contracts.
I don't want to sound like a broken record. I asked this question. I don't remember having a good answer about security fences. I looked at the fence in Gaza, for example. Cut. All taken down. Put another one. That one disappears. What happened to that? What happened to, if this, I put this line here. There, you can see they are working there, all right. Somebody decides that, no, I'm shooting you by. I take those, where do I take them? These are not my assets. What happened to them? Secondly, the blocking of the telephones, which you people hate, that doesn't work, does it? It only talks about certain units. You don't identify where the cells. How does this work? I'm trying to find out all these changes that you're making, are they really working? The other thing I wanted is I said in the olden days, good old days, there used to be agricultural fields. Where even the community would benefit to buy things from the prisons like vegetables and things like that. And that has stopped. I want to find out, and those things are just like low, people are eating the land and so on. And the answer I gave, I think it's in, I can't remember the date, somewhere in 2014, is that you're going to look into it. Now I wanted to find out when our people, I would like that at least you have some kind of revenue generating thing within. Can this department be self-sufficient to a certain extent? At least contribute something towards the revenue. Thank you.
Citizen, earlier on, Honorable Mutapo asked something about the inmate, the integrated inmate management system, and indication was made that there are some processes. But I wanted to check if that means that the system has been suspended. But if it's not suspended, if it is implemented, can then check the extent of the implementation, its impact on the budget, and this maybe it will not be proper for the committee to do an oversight visit to check how that system, that system operates. The other chair, I understand that at times the department makes use of mobile kitchens where the kitchens are not operational. Now I wanted to check how many centers use mobile kitchens. What is the cost implication on the use of mobile kitchens? And is it not proper if maybe the department could have its own mobile kitchen that will be utilized in terms where problems arise from particular centers? Lastly, Chair, I think credit should be given way through. The only opinion of the department has highlighted gives us hunch. It also confirms what we have been saying, that it seems the team DCS is now on a sound team and it's in sound. Thank you very much.
Thanks for that observation, Honorable Mandela. I think it's an important thing that cannot go unmentioned. Any other? Honorable Horn, Honorable Mutapo, Honorable Bongo, Honorable Majaki.
Thanks, Chair. First of all, I just have to repeat my question, which I asked in the previous session regarding the underspending in the sub-program security operations, and the fact that the targets were not met, and get some comment please from the department as to what measures have been put in place to going forward meet these targets, and what the link is between the unspending and not meeting the targets. Then, Chair, there is the issue of no budgetary allowance for interest and rent, and then there's a payout with the explanation that due to some arbitrations made against the department, there was interest on salary expenses, but there's also the 5.9 million rand going to public corporations and private enterprises under that budget line without any budgetary provision. So if we could get some explanation as to how that happened. And then in respect of rental and hiring, there's a huge variance over the last or the fourth quarter. So if you can get an explanation as to how and why that happened. And then in terms of transfers and subsidies, it would seem that under certain sub-programs there's an underspending, whilst in others, for example, the rehabilitation program, there's a huge overspending. So it's not clear to me as to whether the budget was not correct right from start. So if we could get an explanation as to why in certain instances there's a underspending in respect of transfers and subsidies, and then in other programs there's a huge overspending. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. I hope my previous questions still stand, Chairperson.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, okay, thank you. Chairperson, let me start by commending the department for this wonderful presentation, especially in relation to reduction of consultants. And again, may I kindly have clarity on the sleep management. He said something to that effect. Because during the presentation in the last quarter three, there was a huge amount of, in relation to maintenance of old fleet. And when I passed, I was in Lukwane, I seen that there was an auction on their fleet. So maybe can you comment on that? The fleet management. During the presentation, I couldn't get it clear, Chairperson. And, it's the Gagan, eh?
Yes.
Since the Gagan is mentioned of...
Yes. Bamsara, yes.
made mention of working towards a clean audit. Now, this has been mentioned time and again, I remember even in the last presentation. So can you give indication as to how are you trying to do this? I can see at least there is, the presentation is better than what needs to happen. And there is a clear direction where you may, if all goes well. But can you kindly elaborate on this? Thank you, Chief.
I think I want to appreciate the presentations from the department, and let's start by just saying this, that we appreciate the improvements on the audit, because you would note that one of the issues that we hammered in the department on was the audit improvement. So what the AG is saying, I think it's just quite very positive. I agree with Honorable Mail that the team is doing very well. And the one projection which was done by Dr. General himself when he addressed us the previous year. My worry here is this under and over extended, because you know, in terms of the Public Finance Management Act, there should be some consequences for this under, because under extending and over extending, it's not normal. Somebody must be able to be answerable. We must not make it a business usual that we have over, we have under. So what would be the consequence management around this over and under expenditure? I see it on carry. The budget was 1.8, but the over expenditure now is 2.1, which is a huge over expenditure. And then second, how do we reconcile the issue of vacancies? Because in light of this under and over expenditures, the vacancies, because I think it's one measure that does not need a lot to be recognized. It does need people in the office to do the work more and more so that we avoid it. Okay, thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson, and it's just to welcome the presentation from the department and to congratulate you for improving on your finances, CFO. I'm congratulating you. That is a job well done. We haven't actually seen the annual report yet. We don't have an audited financial statement to see if this is really true. Looking forward to seeing this and really finding that it's, oh yes, and really finding that it's really true, because it's historic for you to have managed to get an qualified seat. And with minimal emphasis of NEPA from what I hear, that actually makes us happy. It means from your side you're delivering, and if you are delivering, it means committee is delivering. Yeah, and we really need to applaud you for it. It's actually also encouraging to look at the fact that you have reduced on consultants, but we want to urge you to continue to observe policy of payment of service providers. There shouldn't be any business that actually goes down because it has not been paid. And we want to see you more and more also supporting small business, because you know what we talk about in South Africa, when people complain about jobs, they be in certain areas. But when people become entrepreneurs, they should actually also have opportunities to do business. And big establishments like this is one of the areas where people can actually be in a position to manage to do business. It's good that you have mentioned the use of state-owned buildings, which is what we have emphasized previously, to say don't lease, because there was a lot of money that has actually been put into leasing buildings. And if this is the route that you're taking, we really need to continue to encourage you to do that. One thing in terms of income, I know that you're saying that you're leaving agencies. I don't know whether how you're actually talking about it, but the fact of the matter is you have a population of people inside who are healthy, and I know you have workshops, and I think it's an area that you need to look at how you actually manage to have more income utilizing this population that actually takes up so much of government money. If you get 20 billion, it's a lot of money. And that money is actually given to establishments that is housing healthy people, healthy strong people. We should look at the strategy of also trying to create some form of a balance. You know, it's not going to be possible to get all the money, but let's see, and also the same time be conscious of whatever we do in a way that doesn't actually violate the rights of inmates. But I think it's an area that needs to be looked at, because we can run ourselves if we become proactive in thinking of ways of managing to work together with the inmates rather than work for them when they are there, and we can work with them to help run correctional services. Thank you, Chairperson.
You know, I taught at the University of South Africa for 10 years. And what I learned is that theories don't actually produce anything. And I think departments like yourself could help the country much better by less theorizing, rethinking, and reviewing, but by putting things into action. You know, for instance, the Honorable Maila was talking about farms. For me, the question would be, how many farms do you have as the department? Or how many state-owned farms can you access? And what stops you from actually going into those farms, produce food, produce medicines, because the hospitals need food, the schools need food. Why can't we be practical? So just go and identify those farms, and the people that you train, put them on those farms and create a market, because people are concerned in society that people in correctional centers are living well, they are being fed breakfast, lunch, dinner. Why shouldn't, as part of rehabilitation, those people must produce their own food? Why should you go and buy food for able-bodied people who are sitting in prisons? And government, other departments say they want to create cooperative movements. Why don't you train people to produce in prisons? When they are released, you form them into cooperatives, then immediately they are employed. I think this could be something practical that we should do. Just a small bit. Can we stop theorizing and say you have skills better than any university has inside, you have access to buildings, you have access to farms, why don't we come with a practical program? And shouldn't say that we are rehabilitation people. We say we take them from the correctional services into cooperatives to go and produce, and then we're going to supply schools and so on. Can you come back with us with practical things? Please. Practical things. So that government can be felt amongst the people. At the moment, I think government is something that operates like a secret society. It is doing a lot within the offices and on computer. But outside, what are we doing that is visible? Can we leave with that homework? So next time,
will send us, go and have a workshop. And come back with us with some proposals of practical things that can be done to deal with the situations. There are the questions. Can I?
Yeah. Let me start, because I'll give practical examples and not theorize. Jefferson, I think from your last comments as well as the first comments of Dutton Kulwane, in terms of agricultural activities, certainly we do have 21 correctional farms, and we have 96 small sites or small gardens that we are producing currently. Jefferson, we need maybe, based on your question and your advice, to come back to the portfolio committee to come and give account what was the kilograms veg produced in the past financial year or even the last 10 years. We have that information. We can also provide the kilograms of fruit and which type of fruits we are having. In terms of meat, we have chickens, white meat, pork, white meat, where we have thousands of kilograms that we can also come and provide that we are using as part of our self-sufficiency. Chairperson, we have red meat, we have cows that we are milking, thousands of hundreds of thousands of liters that we can come and give account. We have our eggs from our chickens, chairs, also thousands and thousands. I think to be more practical, we can come at the next presentation, arrange with the secretary that we find maybe 15, 20 minutes in the presentation where we just update the portfolio committee on all farm activities and also chair what is happening in the different farms. You know, we have also wild animals at our farms, which we are also taking off a certain percentage every year that we're also using for our offenders for their consumption. So, chair, I think it's just practical things that maybe can assist the committee to have an understanding of that part, and also then to be in a position to advise where we can still increase more. Chair, and also in terms of the corporate, chair, cooperatives, we are also in liaison with the Department of SMS, which is small development, small business, where we also having a session that we are planning with them, because we in correctional services, we can also contribute in this area, Jay, especially, you know, if we can transfer skills, which we are doing, but if we are releasing them, they need to go somewhere where there's almost a safe haven, otherwise they can't start afresh. Jay, in that regard, I can also mention that we had this ex-offender conference, which our deputy minister is having close at heart, where we are establishing also in all regions desks for this ex-offenders to make sure now all what we are discussing now or almost come to one at the end of the day to make sure that when we release a person, he or she becomes a citizen that can take care of themselves. Chairperson, in terms of the comments from Honorable Mpulwane, we have Mr. Ndekani here, maybe he can assist on the concerns that, you know, we're having a fence that look from a distance still fine and then we're taking it off, maybe to explain practically to the committee what the contractors entail in terms of what happened with that old fences and that actually. Chair, in terms of the blocking of the cell phones and identification of the signals, we will ask Mr. Ntrakana just to give a short overview of this places where we have already installed this equipment that can also empower the portfolio committee, especially if there's oversight visits, to go and see for themselves, Chair. Chairperson, in terms of the integrated management system, we'll ask CC Rotman just to give a snapshot about the progress with that, irrespective of the court matter. Chairperson, the mobile kitchen. Chair, the mobile kitchens that we are currently having, it's a few of them, and it's not ours, it is part of the nutrition contract, where we have serious challenges with our kitchens. I want to make two examples. It is at Groenpunt, Chair, where our kitchens are not up to standard. Mr. Ndekani can also give an update if the need be of the progress in terms of correcting those kitchens where the boilers are not functioning.
and we had to use the nutrition service contract that we have to cater for Kroonpunt as well as the Amakari, and I think CFO in his feedback he will also give some information on why his care budget from I think the 1.9 to 2 point something. Listen, let me pause there and ask my colleagues just to fill in, and I think the most of them will be the chief financial officer, but maybe we can do those other three colleagues quickly, Chief. Thank you.
I'm sorry I attributed to Mr. Maila some statements which were made by the Honorable Mula, but they are always of the same mind.
Okay.
Thank you, Jay. On the integrated inmate management system, and not to go into the detail of the litigation, but there was an interdict that was granted by the court that is an interim interdict, basically stating that we cannot implement the instruction from National Treasury as well as taking us from taking any steps to prevent cancel the solicitor agreement that we have provided. They subsequently brought an application to review the National Treasury report. Minister of Justice and Correctional Services has decided to abide by the decision of the court. I'm not sure regarding National Treasury, which thing they will be opposing. In terms of the extent of implementation, the court act is not impacted on the implementation of it at all at this stage. The next milestone is September, where the first testing will take place, the exceptions testing, and in October it will be rolled out to the first center. I'm not sure whether that's Hoshimakuru or whether it's Johannesburg, but one of those two centers will be done in October. The budget for the IMS comes from the IJS budget, which is with the Department of Justice and Constitutional Development. So it's impacted by any budget cuts that are done there, but we participate fully in the board of the IJS to keep an eye on that. The suggested visits by the portfolio committee, I know I'm trying not to speak on behalf of the CITO, but I know that she has welcomed that. The more we are able to inform on what is happening in terms of the image, the better. We have had visits from National Treasury, where they have had a presentation on the system itself, and also a visit to the centre to explain how it's going to be implemented there. As well, and a member of the audit committee, for example, also took part in that. And where we have indicated to CITO that there are other stakeholders that are interested in seeing it, she's been very open to that. So I think she would welcome more than such a visit. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Are we still having more comments from the College of National Services?
Thank you. Thanks again from Security. I wanted to respond on the matter of cell phone detection and cell phone cloning. We have rolled out cell phone detection equipment in various correctional facilities, and it is not just in terms of recent development, it is even under the public works contract where we've been doing upgrades of systems. Now, I found that in many instances there is a confusion between cloaking and detection. What we are rolling out is detection. It still requires the ability of the center to respond to the detection. And I think what we have done is that we have engaged with the CASA on the cell phone blocking part, which is where you block the signal at all. And the CASA has been very clear in terms of the decision that they have taken, I think it was in 2005 even, which was gazetted. That the Department of Correctional Services is not a security department as defined in the Constitution, and the privilege of blocking signals is extended only to the Department of Defense, the South African Police Services, as well as the State Security Agents. They've made it very clear to us, even met their COO on the matter, and they said that is the position of the CASA. We have said, even in our engagement with the NATO, that it would be very helpful if we could also get ICASA, as was suggested by this court, to come and present here. Because I think the issues that they are raising are beyond what we as a department within our mandate can engage them on. And I still say I would appreciate that sort of engagement. But the cell phone blocking because there are consequences, unfortunately, honorable members, blocking, so including litigation from cell phone service providers, because the blocking affects the ability. So what we are doing now is we are working with SAP and with the State Security Agency to find operational means of dealing with our problems, because we can't wait for the legislation to be amended and so on. So we have agreed with clubs, we are working with clubs on operational measures, especially targeting areas of concern where we can better manage the issue of cell phone signals and so on. But I mean, in summary, I know we could go into detail about it, but in summary, I think that's where the matter stands at the moment.
Just to be creating another topic, because they can't tell us anything that they've not told us. But there must be systems within government, interdepartmental community, to deal with this. So why don't you pursue that route rather than we wasting time here to come listen to a story that you have read?
That's what I'm saying, we're doing in our arrangements with SAP and SSA and the other agencies.
But it should be an endless process.
It seems that the department is listening to everybody who says don't do it.
Nobody is supposed, no inmate is supposed to have a cell, let alone to say don't block my cell. I don't understand what you're saying. Now, when you say you want to block any cell from operating, now who is ATMPM or anybody who is going to say no, don't block it? Cell is supposed to be there. I don't understand when you say you get the cancer. Where does the cancer come into the picture? Because you search people when they get to the cell, so that they don't come in there with cells. They don't communicate with outside world. Now, when you block them, say, no, don't block them. I don't understand. And you listen to them. Now, I still don't understand. I mean, maybe they're... You are scared of being taken to court.
Chairperson, we can continue, Chair. We have a lot of information and energy for this matter, but I don't think it would help. Chair, in short, you don't block a specific cell phone signal. You block the environment where in this place is. And the environment, if we use a close by place like Portsmouth, if you block Portsmouth, it has immediate effect also, it's not looking at the street, because it can't be just in that, so that impact also on the immediate neighbors and environment. So it's not only, if it is a small place at the farm, it's fine, because here we are addressing a principle, and that is currently our challenge, and here we are continuing with this engagement, because we are not happy that we can't do it, because in this public correctional services act, we are charging, if we find the cell phone in the possession of an offender, we charge them because you are not supposed to have that cell phone. And on a lighter note, I just received a complaint from somebody who was saying, while touching these people, we are taking their right away. But he said, we are taking that right with confidence away. So I think we can just ask maybe the CFO to respond to more of the financial matters, and if there's time, Chair, I think Mr. Mdikana can also just maybe in a minute just summarize the concerns of Honorable Fikani Polwane about the fence that we are removing and what is happening with that, just to assist also with some background information. Thank you, Chair.
You see, Mr. Mdikana, when you don't give us the context of your statement, then we end up thinking that how can you say this? But at the same time, then Honorable Pungulan and myself will also appear putting stupid questions. So please contextualize.
Thank you, Chairperson. I will answer the financial related questions. On the security, as asked by Honorable Hon, the unspending of security was as a result of vacancies So there's underspending there, almost 500 million was in respect of taking this within that sub-program, and hence the underspending. The payments to household and private enterprises, the 5.9 million is payments made to private individuals who received awards by the courts. So we can't budget for that amount. So the court awards and then we pay those amounts. It's just categorized in terms of grant as public corporations and private enterprises. Not the 5.9 million. The rental and hiring is various. The 7.0 million is various rentals of items that may be done throughout the year, such as if marquees, those sort of things, if there are events or functions within the respective management areas. But just to indicate that we've been trying to cap on the events. In 2014-15, that same item, we spent 7.3 million. In this financial year, we just reduced it by just around 250,000. The transfers and subsidies that are different throughout the programs is because we can't, the transfers and subsidies are mainly the leave gratuity payment as a result of resignation and so forth. So you can't really estimate the actual, because the resignations happen throughout the various sub-programs. The issue I dealt with on the fleet, we're trying to implement a fleet solution so that we are able, actually exploring it so that we are able to optimize fuel and avoid any footprint and risk expenditure, if any. And the fleet that we bought in the current, the year under review, was to replenish the fleet that was old. And those fleet items that are now found to be redundant, and we option them through the various management areas would then dispose of those through a competitive process which is open, transparent. The last one, Honourable Support, indicated the journey towards green audit. I think if you look at the outcomes of the audit, the issues that we are trying to deal with is compliance with legislation as well as performance information. So there is various controls that will be put in place by strategic management where they are doing reviews on a quarterly basis and assigning channels or people who are supposed to verify performance information. But ultimately, the automation of most of our processes through the INF system is the one that will lead to some of the redundancies that we have in our data collection to be resolved. That's on performance. On procurement, what we've done is we've capacitated the procurement at the national office so that they're able to avoid irregular expenditure and as well as unauthorized expenditure, where we've implemented beginning this quarter the enforcement sort of like a unit which will go around and even do observations of evaluation committees in the various regions and make recommendations after we found whether we can cancel contracts and so forth or review the bidding processes. That is more of a preventative mechanism that we are putting in place. We have also, thirdly, have improved incredibly on our risk management processes. We are rolling out risk management committees throughout the region. We started with a national where we facilitated the risk management committee, but now the risk management processes are being rolled out through our internal control and compliance units. So those are the components that are facilitating the processes of each management area dealing with their findings from the Auditor General and having that in place, which for the outcomes of 15-16 we already started going around the country and reviewing those action plans. And I must say our colleagues, regional commissioners in regions have been very much supportive and embracing that process because it's a message that has been well received by our officials as well. So I think that's the the last of the questions that have been asked.
Okay, thank you, Chair. I'll try to summarize and answer directly, and maybe still a minute to just highlight one of the issues raised by Honorable Hall on the liquidation. The one form of petition, luckily we have already received the instruction to consider developing our own type of a design of a typical sort of a kitchen. Just to give an example of a cost, like you really asked how much it costs. For instance, we did a quotation to the existing contractor. He indicated $2 million rent a month just to provide a facility, obviously them operating that kitchen. So but we're looking at the option of actually getting our own mobile kitchen, specifically to deal with issues like Virginia, where we had a band facility where we cannot be able to provide the food. Now, with respect to the band, I'll try to be very diplomatic here. The defense as it is, when we actually procure a new project, there would have been ideally an assessment that had been done, which says that this particular fence needs to be replaced. So that goes to also to finance and the current life cycle costing. So basically, in terms of your bill of quantities, you find that there is a cost to remove before you put something that is new. So what normally happens is that the contractors that you appoint, they have to actually remove those things if the department has not indicated any use of those things, particularly when it appears that we may not actually have a use for that. So I just want to say that I'll answer you like that. But generally speaking, in terms of you understanding that I'm also new, I might have to actually provide you with more details in terms of the physical fence that you're talking about, what has been to this. Maybe to still lastly, Shepherdson, the issue of the liquidation, just to re-emphasize this one, Honorable Horn, out of those six contractors that liquidated in the past, about four projects have been completed, right? And then the other one for the CMEX, we've just appointed a contractor to start recently their port, CMEX, the Rubex construction. The one that we're fighting with now actually gets finalized, obviously, after the pushing that we're doing, which of course from people that have the words to resign. It's planning, to which then I think maybe in the next opportunity, we'll be able to give a much more a response on this one. But generally speaking, the ones that are a bit monitoring will be the CMEX and then ESCOT, which will be completed in May next financial year. Thank you very much.
Mr. Smallberg, the question of communication or interdepartmental communication. You know, for instance, you were talking about partnership with the CITES. Now, I know that in Toyendo, for instance, there are 15 learners of the construction CITES. The learnership is not moving, because they have to get private companies from Johannesburg to travel to that area. There are 150 learners enrolled by the construction system. The classes have been interrupted because they must get service providers from Johannesburg. And now I'm just wondering if the construction system, public works and yourself were communicating, those 200 learners wouldn't be under training by now. And do you know that schools have been destroyed in Guane, that these kids could be utilized there? Then you don't have human resources to deal with the rebuilding of schools. You don't have the human resources to train the youth. But at the same time, everybody says we want youth development, we want to create jobs for the youth. But I think, unless I'm irrelevant, but I think there's a problem with communication interdepartmental communication, or perhaps even who must be the lead department, who must take the lead. I don't know if I'm making myself clear, but concretely I'm saying, as I'm speaking, there are 200 learners, unemployed youth, who could be undergoing training, and I think between Public Works and myself, you could help those kids, but we're waiting for people who want to just make profits. Others even stop doing the work and say, we want to rural allowance and things like that. Can I, if I make sense, can I be addressed on that issue?
Listen, thank you. See, there's a number of issues that will come into play here. See, firstly, I will not attempt to appropriately respond to you, but just maybe to make a comment or two. Jefferson, when you are mentioning FITAS, I think we in correctional services do have our own experience as well as what we have seen from the Minister of Higher Education dealing with some of the FITAS. So I think FITAS on itself, there's a type of a question mark. But I'm saying that on a distance check. So in terms of to adopting learners into our system as correctional services, it also do have its own challenges and question marks. In short, Jay, we don't have a system where we can put them in our system. The only system that we are currently using is where we let nearby communities, for example, sign indemnity forms, and we try to assist and help them training in our workshops and also our agriculture activities. But when it becomes to formal change, we haven't engaged in that matter as yet, to involve them on a formal, as I'm saying, you know, their challenges where they are in employment. Surely if we have that information, one can see, and not say we can't, but first you see, how can, if you can't assist, but how can you at least support and advise, also getting other departments on board on this matter? Thank you, Chair.
And I don't remember, but I think you
I think you can be well excused, but the meeting continues, because we have another issue. But thank you very much, and I think we must thank you for having come, because you have done very well, and you sounded like you were unsure. we are having questions.
Chair, thank you very much on behalf of Correctional Services, Chair. If we sound a little bit unsure in the beginning, it's that we don't want to go before, you know, put the cart before the horses, but we will come when we have that report available, then we will put through what we are saying. Chairman, thank you very much. And Chairman, we have noted that in terms of partnerships as well as practical presentation in terms of agricultural produce, we will need to come back, and we have noted that there are just to summarize those two more important matters. Thank you very much, Chairman.